Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We're in a series, The Gift of the Holy Spirit. The message today is a very important message. It is on God's preserving power. This message will be delivered by Stephen Craig. I am Dr. Mary Craig. It is April 23, 2023. And let's pray. Holy Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. We thank you for his life, radical obedience, perfect personal perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross. We thank you that he fulfilled all righteousness, even to dying to pay the penalty for sin, redeeming those for whom he died by his blood, the sacrifice of himself. We thank you that he brought the reconciliation that overcomes alienation from you, that by this reconciliation, we can know you as Father. We thank you that Jesus bore your wrath, bore the curse, bore the sin, and bore the glory. Jesus destroyed the works of darkness, defeating Satan and his kingdom publicly. We give you praise, O Lord, that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead, out from among the dead, and ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Almighty. Jesus Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God the Son, Son of God, ruler of the kings of this earth, and coming again in power and great glory. Thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit. We ask that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth, guiding us into the truth, that he come as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, revealing Jesus Christ to us and granting us wisdom for the days in which we live. Thank you, God, as we come in before you in humility, on bended knee, with our heads bowed, we pray that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man which was created according to you, God, in true righteousness and holiness. Sanctify us by your word and by your Holy Spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And now I'm going to turn this over to Stephen Craig to deliver the message.
This is the series, The Gift of the Holy Spirit, and the message, God's Preserving Power. And this is for Mary Craig. Today, we will explore the testimony of Peter as to the preserving power of God. Peter's vision and understanding of Jesus Christ enlarged as he grew in grace and knowledge. His is a remarkable testimony of being kept by the power of God. We persevere because the Holy Spirit preserves all true believers in Jesus Christ. Peter addresses chosen expatriates scattered in a certain area. These are elect ones, ecclesia, called out ones, according to the foreknowledge or before knowledge of God the Father through the, quote, holying of the Spirit into or unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 2:9, true believers are to, quote, show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, quote. We find that God, the sovereign first cause, treats us as moral agents and rational creatures responsible for our choices and decisions. He sets before us weighty considerations and powerful motives. He gives solemn warnings. He promises rich rewards. He renews His grace and revives us by His Spirit to enable us to respond correctly. We are to cooperate with the, quote, holying, quote, work of the Holy Spirit. We are called to be holy as God is holy, and to purify our souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Quote, this is that, dot, 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 quote. Peter began expounding on the day of Pentecost to show how the prophecy of Joel applied to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in the last days, Acts 2:16. He pointed to the phenomenal display of the supernatural as men spoke in various languages in order to be understood by the varied mix of people who had come for the feast in Jerusalem. In Acts 10:38, we find Peter presenting Jesus of Nazareth as anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, and declaring how Jesus went about doing good and healing those who were oppressed by the devil. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, Acts 10:38. In Acts 15:8, Peter answered expressly that God gave the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles, irrespective of all national distinctions, that God put no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. In his letter, Peter has various titles applying to the Holy Spirit. Let's listen to some. One, quote, the Spirit of Christ, 1 Peter 1:11. Two, quote, the Spirit of God, quote, intimating God and the Holy Spirit who proceeds from God, 1 Peter 4:14. And lastly, three, quote, the Spirit of glory, quote, showing that the Spirit of glory rests like the Shekinah on persecuted Christians, 1 Peter 4:14. Let's dig deeper. In 1 Peter 1:11, Peter says that as to the ancient prophets, the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Essentially, this is saying that the prophet of old announced the cross and crown of the Redeemer. This verse also furnishes a convincing proof that Christ had a divine preexistence and that his spirit, prior to the incarnation, guided the writers under the superintending influence of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, in all their predictions. The Spirit of Christ was in the Old Testament prophets and writers of the Old Testament scriptures, and thus, the Old Testament scriptures were and are inspired by the Holy Spirit, and thus infallible, or without error in the autographs. George Smeaton says, quote, "The same Spirit that formed Christ's human body and gave it life in his mother's womb gave to him the restored life when he rose from the dead. He who raised up Christ from the dead, indeed, is frequently mentioned as one of the Father's memorable titles or designations. And to prove that it was the Spirit who performed this work, we have only to recall the fact that the Holy Ghost is the executive in every divine operation." And the reference, Romans 4:24 and 6:4. And that's the quote, George Smeaton. "To the Holy Spirit also is ascribed the Christian's sanctification. 1 Peter 1:2. The Holy Spirit, by the gospel, separates Christians or sets them apart from the common mass of people in a peculiar way. The blessings enjoyed are the fruit of the Spirit's sanctifying power. The Old Testament prophets had the Holy Spirit, and so did the apostles in like manner. They preached with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven." 1 Peter 1:12. The Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Christ. The coming of Christ focused and forever marked our understanding of God. Gordon Fee, in his book, God's Empowering Presence, speaks of the transcendent God of the universe, now to be known as, quote, "the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," quote, 1 Peter 1:3. This transcendent God sent his Son into the world to redeem. With the coming of Christ, we also have greater definition to our understanding of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is also the Spirit of Christ. He carries on the work of Christ, following Christ's resurrection and subsequent assumption of the place of authority at God's right hand. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the New Covenant, who brings freedom and transforms God's people into the, quote, "glory of the Lord," quote. Believers are, quote, "in Christ," quote, "sanctified by the Spirit." And the reference, Fee, God's Empowering Presence. Okay. True believers are kept by the power, dunamis, of God. We can only know what that power is and the greatness of it as we are spiritually enlightened concerning that power. 1 Peter 1:5. Now this is really important. As A.W. Pink notes, quote, "All is from the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. all proceeds from the foreordination of the Father. All that comes to the believer is through Christ, that is, on account of his infinite merits. All is actually wrought by the Spirit, for he is the executive of the Godhead, the active agent in all the works of redemption. The believer is as truly and directly preserved by the Spirit as he was quickened by him. I'm going to read that again. The believer is as truly and directly preserved by the Spirit as he was quickened by him. And only as this is duly recognized by us will we be inclined to render to him that thanks and praise which is his distinctive due. End of quote, A.W. Pink. And that was the important. And now it gets deeper. Okay. From what is the believer preserved? From what is the believer preserved? Mainly, we are delivered from apostasy and preserved not only from everlasting burnings, but from those things which would expose us thereto. It is dangerous, then, to make light of sin and to encourage careless living. Pink exhorts, quote, "It is not true that if a man has once truly believed in Christ, no matter what enormities he may commit afterwards, nor what course of evil he follow, he cannot fail to reach heaven. The Spirit does not preserve in a way of licentiousness, but only in the way of holiness. Nowhere has God promised his favor to dogs who go back to their vomit, nor to swine which return to their wallowing in the mire. The believer may indeed experience a fearful fall, yet he will not lie down content in his filth any more than David did." And there's this quote, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand," quote. That was Psalm 37:24. And all of that was A.W. Pink. Preserving power, a garrison. We need the preserving power of the Holy Spirit, that garrison around us. Jesus said, quote, "Without me, you can do nothing," quote, John 15:5. Paul said, quote, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God," quote. That was 2 Corinthians 3:5. Peter is telling us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the power of God will keep or garrison the true believer in holiness. But this is not like maintaining, say, a tree or a river. Okay? This is not like maintaining a tree or a river. A river might dry up, and a tree might be uprooted. A new water supply might replenish the river, and nourishment might replenish the displaced tree. That's using physical power from without, and without the river or the tree concurring or helping in the process. With the true believer, God works from within, using moral suasion so that we come to concur in mind and will with the Holy Spirit in His work. God deals with us as moral agents and draws us, quote, with cords of a man, quote. That's Hosea 11:4. Maintains our responsibility and bids us, quote, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Quote, Philippians 2:12 and 13, and also A.W. Pink. The Greek word in 1 Peter 1:5 concerning this garrison power is translated, quote, protected, quote, in the NASB. It is a military term meaning to guard, protect, garrison, and it is the present participle. This happens by the dunamis of God. Garrison is a strong military force or guard made up of troops, soldiers, officers, and fortifying structures and equipment. In this case, of the holy host of heaven. God, the sovereign first cause. Man, the responsible agent. So, the preserving power of the Holy Spirit working on behalf of true believers to keep them in holiness means God is doing a work in us as moral agents such that we come to cooperate with the mind and will of Christ in order to do the will of the Father by the power and with the heart of the Holy Spirit. Man is responsible before the living God as a moral agent. God treats us as moral agents and rational creatures responsible for our choices and decisions. He sets before us weighty considerations and powerful motives. He gives solemn warnings. He promises rich rewards. He renews His grace and revives us by His Spirit in order to enable us to respond correctly, to make the right choice. We become conscious of the power and pollution of sin dwelling in us. We cry for help to resist and escape defilement. We are shown the need of faith and beg for increase. We become aware of the flesh that hinders us and drags us down like gravity to the grave. We have our eyes opened to the obedience to which we are called. We want to be fruitful, to bear the fruit of the Spirit, to bear the fruit of righteousness in the kingdom of God. We yearn to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We want to abound in spiritual things like wisdom and works wrought in God. Basically, we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit's operation in us because, quote, He which has begun a good work in you will finish it. Philippians 1:6. This is important. As much as we need regeneration by the Holy Spirit to be born out of God ones, so we need preservation by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read that again. As much as we need regeneration by the Holy Spirit to be born out of God ones, so we need preservation by the Holy Spirit. Quote, faithful is He who called you, who also will do it. Quote, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Okay, now this is also important that follows. God the Holy Spirit preserves. We can persevere because the Holy Spirit preserves. Thus, what is reserved in heaven for us is worth suffering for. And because God is holy, we are to be holy, obeying the truth through the Spirit, to the end that we might love one another with a pure heart. 1 Peter 1:22. Peter reminds us that it was the Holy Spirit who was in the prophets of old, inspiring them to testify beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. 1 Peter 1:10-12. The Holy Spirit came before us in the role of Christ's divine forerunner and prepared the way for Christ in prophecy, type, and symbol. Just as the Holy Spirit was at work preparing the way for the first advent of Christ, so also in these last days, the Holy Spirit is preparing Christ's own and the world for the second advent. We do well to get it right. 1 Peter 1:3 speaks of the, quote, lively hope, quote. 1 Peter 1:23 speaks of the living word of God. 1 Peter 4:19 speaks of committing the keeping of our souls to God. And then we have from G3844 and G5087, so those are word references, and to place alongside, that is, present. That would be like food and truth. By implication, to deposit. That would be as a trust or for protection. Okay? So this is the committing the keeping of our souls to God, spoken of in 1 Peter 4:19. Okay. The Holy Spirit has the ability to revive drooping saints and to support and maintain spiritual life in them in the process of, quote, holying, quote. We can trust the Lord to provide this preserving power that enables us to keep going and persevere. The word of the Lord stands forever. Amen.
Amen. Let's see. All right, let's pray. I need the page just before this last one. Thank you. Lord God, we come to you and we give you thanks for the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that we can, for those who have spent lifetimes writing books, and there's not too many of books about the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for working on behalf of true believers to keep us in holiness, Lord, because you have said to be holy as you are holy. We thank you, Lord. Help us to cooperate with the mind and will of Christ in order to do the will of the Father by the power and with the heart of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, forgive us our sins and our iniquities, our transgressions and our trespasses. Forgive us, O God. We are responsible for our choices and decisions. And Lord God, thank you for your word. Renew your grace and revive us by your Holy Spirit. Enable us to respond correctly, to make the right choice, to do what's right, to have the ability to respond as you would have us respond. Lord, let us be conscious of the power and pollution of sin dwelling in us. And Lord, help us to resist and escape defilement. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, we ask that you would make us strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Lord, let us stand sure in the faith, the faith. And Lord, have our eyes opened to the obedience to which we are called. Lord God, if we don't have it, give it to us. And to those who have the desire to be fruitful, to bear the fruit of the Spirit, to bear the fruit of righteousness in the kingdom of God, enable us and let us be fruitful in the things that remain, the things that will remain. We give you all the praise, and we give you all the glory that we are kept by the very power of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. And now if you would please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of the peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.